to be need to look at. They affect our constituencies. And the trade and industry, I think they held already, they've held two or three meetings about the two bills. So we'll be left behind. I would also go in line with the plea of the chairperson. But let's receive the briefing so that we have an understanding. And the chairperson will then talk to the chairperson of the trade and industry for a joint sitting of the two be having a background. Of course, yes, Mr. Mutong will request that can be done, but I was also going to add to your voice chat to plead that with the department just to brief us. We are also not a law committee, so that by the time we have a joint meeting, we are.
Thank you, Honorable Siabe. Any other intake?
Mr. Mashingozi.
Mr. Mashingozi.
Good morning. Good morning to everyone. I also feel like the sole purpose of the department to come and present this without us having met the chair and all that, it becomes I'm not quite sure exactly as to why about this bill without us only having not interrogated it thoroughly. That's my take, Chair. Thank you.
Any other intake?
Morning, Chair.
Yes, Honorable Maloman.
Morning, Honorable Members. I think maybe we need to adopt. Now we're busy speaking about the bill that is not even now, but let's put the agenda and then and then after that, good, where we are going to make it never briefed us that be so that when we meet with the portfolio committee of trade and industry, the department has briefed us, we've got more information, we can meet as both committees having information that the department has given us. That is my view. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. On any other intake? Honorable members, let me remind honorable members what we've said on Tuesday. No one rejected that, even in my closing remarks of the committee. We've said, no, it's going to be good that each department must take us as honorable members, they are saying that the trade and industry, they've been in this all not rejected what we've said. We took this decision really on Tuesday, and we even said, let each department to come and brief colleagues in the other side. No one rejected that. So I'm saying, with due respect, no one saying that, no, chairperson, you cannot take away, according to our program, we're having an entity who was going to meet us. Wait, and if you still remember, honorable on that entity must come and bring. Firstly, the department must come and take us through on that entity. And I have asked that, and we were saying that when the proposal was coming from the floor, and I was saying that, okay, it can be good if we can have a briefing separately, in order that we must have an idea as a new committee who have been not knowing what is going on here. And if you look at the summary of our research, the portfolio committee of trade and industry calling the meetings, who will be at least not hearing for the first time, looking at them, listening at them, will be at least have an insight in order that we must contribute, take that decision on the brief aside. I add our own minutes. So I'm pleading with your respect, honorable members, that sometimes when we want to achieve something, we must just aim to agree on an issue that we are going to benefit on it. That's why even us as a committee, we did have a written letter that it was referred to us as this portfolio committee. We didn't take it from I felt that we must not listen to one committee.
Chairperson, myself and I see Chairperson, I see Honourable Ms. Klombo, both our hands is up. Can we please have a gap before we go on, please?
Yes.
Chairperson? Thank you, Chair. Chair, you didn't answer my question. This is an important bill. We cannot, as the coming back again. We don't do division and call for and note our objection. It must be limited. We didn't have
please, can you put the agenda on the screen and we agree on the agenda? So that if we agree with the agenda and then we can continue. If we don't agree with the agenda, that's when we can debate issues to say why we don't agree with the agenda. Thank you, Chairperson.
I'm supporting Maluman. Let's move on. It's either you want to participate or not so that we contribute. Simple.
Honorable member, the agenda is on the screen.
So before you adopt the agenda, can you get an explanation? I've asked you, we're supposed to have...
agenda.
Chairperson?
I'm not yet giving you the platform. I will give...
I've raised my hand.
I'll give you... I'll entertain the questions after rejection or adoption of the agenda, and I'll respond on your question. I'm putting the agenda on the screen.
Chairperson, we object to the agenda
according to the day and adoption or rejection of the agenda.
Chair, note our
agenda. I've noted, Honorable Mshongo.
The whole DA's objection against this chairperson. I second Honorable Mshongo.
Oh, DA. We note the objection of the DA.
Chairperson?
Yes, Honorable Siabe.
I move that we adopt the agenda.
Honorable Siabe.
I move.
I'm seconding
the adoption of committee. Honorable Maluma,
I'm seconding.
Yes. Any apologies? We've noted the objection of the DA. Of the adoption of the agenda, and any apology?
Yes, Chairperson, we have an apology from the Minister and the Deputy Minister. Also, Dr. Ngabane has another meeting, but she is going to be joining us later.
I wanted, before we get to the point number four, which we're about to get in, that the office did invite the department. The department is within here because if honorable members, when I'm putting the point number four, it was someone forgotten according to minutes, even if it was something from the floor saying that yes, we must meet with the other committee, but firstly we must have a meeting of our own, that the department must brief us, and I'm suspecting after that I didn't even go back to the administrators to do a committee. We even said that let's not meet according to agenda, the entity which was going to. And it's a pity the minutes are not with us today. We said let's take this opportunity of using this day to be briefed by the department. So I'm suspecting why it was invited because of that decision of Tuesday. So because now we're arguing, the minutes will assist us when we're coming back. So we are in the point number four.
Point of order, Chair.
Yes, Honorable Song.
According to our schedule, we're supposed to have CIFSA. What is the reason for us not to say, to be on our schedule? The schedule today doesn't say the bill. I think it's clear. Can I get an explanation? And why did we get this? I'm still speaking, sir. And why did we get this late? Is this someone is taking advantage of this committee? Or?
Oh, I was thinking that.
I'm still speaking, sir.
I'm listening.
You say to me, I don't respect you. I'm still on this platform. Can you respect me too?
No, but Chairperson, Comrade Chairperson, we can't tolerate this language of Mr. Mutongo, man. No, can you speak?
Which language did I use? Which language did I use?
Who's the
Wena, which language did I use? Your Sankapang. I'm still on the floor.
How can you hear? Listen, honorable members, please bear with me. I was still saying to honorable members, just a moment, I will come back to you, all of you. Honorable Mhlongo, you have choose me. I didn't do anything. I was listening to you. And you just, all of a sudden, think that I don't respect you. But I was telling you that
actually, Papa Faz, actually, Papa Faz.
We are out of order, Wena Mama
Bula. Can you call Mama Bula to order? Honorable members,
you're biased.
Mama Bula, don't do that. No, listen to me.
I'm saying, you must call Mama Bula to order,
Chair. But why I say I'm biased, Honorable?
Because he's talking while you're talking.
Saying so.
You trust me, well, both of you talk tantamount. You're going to do that.
I'm
because you don't call your members in
order. Order, Chairperson.
The order stands there. Yes, Honorable.
Chairperson, yes, Chairperson. This is a meeting of a committee of parliament, and there's only one chairperson here. And I would appeal to you, Chairperson, if there's somebody who doesn't respect the rules of the meeting, can we use the rules of parliament to deal with that member? If they are, we're not going to be frustrated when we have procedures to follow. If it means you must take the member out of the meeting, let it be so. But let us be orderly, because this is a meeting of parliament. We respect one another.
Honorable, thank you, Honorable. You know what? What is not in order? I don't even think that Honorable Mhlongo did hear me when initial I said, Honorable Mamabulo, no, please, because Honorable Mamabulo was talking and Honorable Mhlongo was interjecting with Honorable Mamabulo. No, Honorable, but now is telling me a lot of things that I'm biased. But if this thing is recording, I will be heard. Saying that honorable members. So I don't know why I choose that I'm biased. I'm not biased. Because we're all talking. You didn't hear me. I've crossing for the second time, but because you couldn't hear me. And the recordings are there. They can prove that I've crossing. I've said, Honorable Mamabul, I even say, Honorable Malomane, please wait, please wait. So you are saying that I'm biased. Why do you think that I can be biased? What am I going to achieve?
Can I come in, Chair?
Honorable Strong, yes. Why are you saying I'm biased?
It did not. We can go to the records. You have a problem with your network even right now. Your other words we can hear, your other words we cannot. Now, I did not hear.
But you can't now just accuse me. If
no, it's not recorded. You are saying it's recorded. We can go to recording. It's not there.
Are you recording?
Mr. Mamabula, I'm speaking, Chair. I was speaking while I'm speaking. Mr. Mamabula just came in to say I'm Shoni Papafaz. Now I was saying you must call him to order. And Chair, without wasting any time, I want to find out why don't we stick to our schedule. Today I've asked several times, why is SIFSA not here today as per the schedule that we've approved? And why did you receive this presentation late? I need only those answers, I'll be okay. Thank you, Chair.
Excuse me, Chairperson.
Yes, so.
On the issue of the program, Chairperson, today we were supposed to have Chess South Africa.
Yes.
And in the meeting of the 25th of August, it is where it was decided that the department would like to brief the committee first before the committee meets with Chess South Africa because of the challenges that Chess South Africa is having, which is why we decided to have the bill today instead of Chess South Africa. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mazo. Honorable Van Dijk was even, we're even saying that we respect and each department must come and brief us with the Chess South Africa because we want to hear it's a lot that is not happening to Chess South Africa. So that's why I was forgotten which entity. That's why I'm saying that we have said in a meeting, let's not take Chess South Africa. Let's ask the department to come and brief us. Now I do remember our own deputy minister even said it will be nice that as the department must firstly take us through in order when we are going to have a meeting with our colleagues. We must at least have a cause. We were the first six parliament members. We never ever had a briefing. And it was saying that, yes, Honorable Baba, we need that joint. But now we do support this thing of, firstly, we must be briefed. And I do remember saying that today we must be briefed about these two bills. Chess South Africa will ask the department first and come in and brief us. In those words, I'm suspecting you assisting me now respond on the question of why late documents. After that, we'll just get briefings. Anyone, Dr. Kumalo, of course, Dr. Mkhize did phone saying that DDG is Kumalo, I'm suspecting it's Kumalo, is going to take us through. You are taking us through with the question, why documents were late yesterday? Thank you.
Honorable Chair, good morning. And good morning to honorable members. I am here. We do have a problem of load shedding, but if it affects me, I will then hand over to Dr. Kumalo with the team. But I think I must just, Honorable Chairperson, indicate that it is incorrect to assume that the documents were late, when in fact the notice was came to us on Tuesday, as you have eloquently explained, that was a decision to change the schedule. And clearly there was no CISA in the schedule. It was about CHESS, which would have come to then present that document. Now, with the CHESS South Africa. So when we now talk about the late document, when we received this on Tuesday, we had to prepare the document the whole day on Wednesday, make sure that the document is thorough, because this committee has to be empowered. Because knowledge is power. You cannot engage the committee and give them shoddy work at the end of the day, misinform and make the handicap the committee, Honorable Chairperson, with inadequate information for such a crucial bill. These two bills, it's not just one bill, it's two bills. So we had to make sure that we provide the document. And we worked and made sure that yesterday by 11, we were able to submit the document. And we didn't say that we need to wait for another 7 days to submit the document. So there can't be contradictions, Honorable Chair, that the meeting decided on Tuesday. Documents were then submitted still yesterday to make sure that the committee is empowered. It is 62 pages, not because the 63 also pages. It's not because we wanted to give the committee a work that is inadequate. But also, if we look at the document, it's separated into three parts. There is a part that talks to what the legal issues that were raised and the reasons for referral back. And then it talks to the issue of the fair use and the fair deal, which needs to, the members needs to be empowered upon and to have a sense about it. And then the other one is what we can decide not to present, because it is mainly to assist the committee in terms of the bill themselves. So, Honorable Chair, the only intention was to make sure that the committee has adequate information, because the committee is not a continuation of the old committee that had been briefed before about this document, about this bill.
With that explanation, I want to say, please brief us on whatever it happened this morning. I'm still calm and cool, but I do notice that whenever sometimes I'm sharing, there's this thing which is happening, and I'm noticing, and I'm noticing for the second time. Because here I'm just sharing and wanting that we must all share and be honest on our discussions. On Tuesday last week, really we are correct. We took a decision, and that decision we reversed the chairs and saying that instead of a chairs, and it was in a meeting. It was not with my staff and maybe with some at the corner. So you left this Tuesday meeting knowing that Friday we want what we are in today. It was about that. In those words, can you give us the briefing?
Chair, my hands have been up for some time. I've noted on the settings that my hands is up. I've been raising my hands even on video. Can you note my hands, please?
I didn't see your hand, Honorable, because in the screen, it was the DG was speaking, and I'm noting your hand now, because you are raising with your mouth your hand, because I can't see it. So go on, Honorable Member.
Your secretary must assist you, and this eventual, it's easy for you to know that. But nonetheless, since you've heard my voice, I'll raise it. I'm calm. I have my rights in this committee to raise anything that I want to raise. For an example, on the rules, it says you must receive documents 48 hours before the meeting. It says that. 48 hours, and we did not receive these documents 48 hours before the meeting. That is the first thing. Secondly, Chair, you know, for housekeeping, if we've agreed on Tuesday that Chairs is not coming, can we go to the minutes and see that? We don't have those minutes, firstly. I don't have those minutes. Now,
order, Chair. Order, Chair.
Honorable Mhlongo,
there's an order.
Okay.
Just a moment. Honorable Siabe.
Chairperson, we can't debate the reasons why. We can't debate minutes when we don't have minutes in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
It is going to be one's word against the other. I think the chairperson have ruled that we continue with the agenda as adopted. Let us not waste more time. We can't get into debate about something that is outside the agenda. There was an explanation given. Please, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Siabe. Honorable Mhlongo, do you still remember that you have objected on the agenda?
Chair, yes, I still note my objection on our objection on the agenda. And note, Chair, for us to be heard, we are going to leave this meeting, all of us, and then you'll continue with your meeting. Thank you, Chair, as a protest that we cannot be...
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Goodbye.
I'm still speaking.
Honorable Mama Bolo. Honorable Mama Bolo, don't do that. Don't do that. I'm still chairing.
My apologies, Chairperson.
Honorable members, Honorable Mhlongo, they are leaving the meeting. Can you, DG, go on with the presentation? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair.
I'm mute.
Oh, bengaboni ukuthi ngicofa kuphi. Sanibonani, Honorable Chairperson. Mphathisihlalo osihloniphekileyo, ngibingelele also all the members of the committee as well as my colleagues who are here. I have in our presence the colleagues from the department, and I've got Mr. Zwelakhe Mbiba, who will be taking us through the document in a nutshell of the areas of the bill that are quite crucial. But just as an opening, a chairperson is just indicated that these are two bills in one in terms of debate. It is a copyright amendment bill as well as the performance protection bill. And they are combined because they have overlapped, and you can't deal with one without having the impact on the other, because the copyright is about content and what is developed and the IP ownership. While if you look at the performance protection, there has been a lot of exploitation of the performance. And all these acts, Honorable Chair, are coming out of the era prior to the democratic dispensation. One is from 1967, while the other one is 1978. So respectively, these laws are outdated and very, very old, and the practitioners remain exposed to exploitation and abuse and without having to reap the fruits of their rewards. So when these bills then were presented, as we will, can we just go on sharing with the document? Can the document move, please? So here today, then, the aim is to brief a full committee on the Copyright Amendment Bill and the Performance Protection. Exactly as I've said, Honorable Chair, that there has been a need to make sure that these bills are brought in line with our Constitution and the current dispensation, because they are quite old. So it will provide the brief history, noting that the time has really been lost, Honorable Chair. We will also then be able to touch on the process that was followed in the introduction of the bills, the consultations that took place, We'll also then provide the objectives and the key objects of the bill and what they are seeking to achieve. And that will include then the current status of the bill on what the president have raised with the rationale on each area. The biggest debate, which we find also on section 12 of the bill, where the areas of contestation are bigger, you will note when you read, Honorable Chair, with the members, that section 12 is, throughout here is more of the center of the challenges that the bill has. But the president had raised issues of constitutional muster, whether these as well as the international compliance. These two areas needed to be then revisited, and the department has worked with the Department of Trade and Industry, and we have also then worked together to have these committees and within the two departments participating in the drafting of these bills. So it is, while primarily it is the DTIC, but because we have a vested interest, very direct vested interest, because performers can only be protected if this portfolio committee promote its rights, their rights, and promote their protection. And that is why they will come to the committee. So it might be a misunderstanding to think that this committee is less important attention that is required to be paid here, and that it is only trade and industry. The committee plays a crucial role in terms of our clientele that you are servicing. So there can be no way that the committee can then not be briefed fully on these copyrights when it engages with other committee, must not be based on lack of information. Hence then, we deal thoroughly with the issue of the president's issues and reservations, as well as thoroughly with the issue of the fair use and the fair dealing model.
DG, DG, Mr. Madlingos, his hand is up. Mr. Madlingos.
Thank you, Chair. Apologies to DG, honorable committee members, and all important people. Since the DA has left our meeting, are we still forming the quorum to carry on with our meeting, Chairperson?
Yes, we do.
Thank you, Chair.
Oh, fuck, DG. Thank you, okay. Mr. Madlingos.
So yes. What we will then do on the general issues, if we move to the next slide, we will then have the copyright law, Honorable Chair, will provide exclusive economic and moral rights to creators of work. By that, what do we mean? We refer to the musical, literary, artistic work, and otherwise, any other work that the creators, the producers, the people who have a sudden inclination of producing some of the artistic work or creative work. The exclusive rights then will regulate how to make the work available to the public or users and how the work should be treated. Then that is where the component of moral rights comes in relation to the creator. So it's a balancing act here, Honorable Chair, which the bills are looking at to balance the interests of the creator or the producer, as well as the user, so that the user is not exploiting the work of the creator. So it becomes very important that the economic right, and that the economic right does not necessarily become a restraining a right which makes it impossible for users to access the material. So the attempt is to deal with both And I can share with you, Honorable Chair, that one of the biggest problems we faced with the bill during consultations was exactly that contestation between the content creators vis-a-vis the interest of the user. So the bill is trying to deal with economic as well as moral rights to the creators. But also the economic rights are the exclusive right to reproduce, rent, land, or perform, or license, or broadcast this. As we know, Honorable Chair, that we've got our own, particularly the within the African region, a lot of work that was taken out of here and is used internationally, exploited internationally, that intellectual work. At the end of the day, you find that even here in South Africa, the creators of content do not really get what belongs to them or benefit from it. So the attempt then here around the issue of economic rights is how and when regulating this, how to reproduce rent and deal with issues of people who will steal work of the creatives. Economic rights also in the copyright are tradable and can be transferred and owned by any person other than the original creator, with exceptions to resale rights. We will explain what this means when we go through the document check, because it is very important that when we explain what is meant by tradable and of the or be transferred and owned by any other person than the original creator, but under what circumstances should that be, with the exception that of the resale rights, and which must always be within the owner who was the originator of that content. The moral rights then will also allow creators of works to be identified as authors, provide legal rights to object to disrespectful treatment of their work by others. Unlike economic rights, the moral rights, Honorable Chair members, cannot be transferred. Now, exclusive rights to copyright are not unlimited. There are limitations here, Honorable Chair, of the right is which is regulated through the copyright exception. That will also not be just willy-nilly or a blank check. It will be subject to applicable tests. That must test, that must be able to see whether that is within the law. And the user then can be protected and can use protected material in certain ways without infringing the exclusive rights of the creator of content. So, Honorable Chair, those were just my remarks. I will then request immediately that the bill, as we have said, is separated. We have this presentation is separated into three parts. I will then ask that Zuela take the committee through the concerns that were raised by the arts and culture sector. And he will just take us through, Honorable Chair. And I promise it will not be long, but we'll try to emphasize and empower the committee on this. So can I ask from slide 5 that then Zuela deals with the presentation?
Yes, yes, you can do that, DG.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, and good morning, Honorable members of the committee, the DG, and our colleagues from the department. I see also our colleagues from the DTI joined us. Honorable Chair, we are currently sitting with old legislation.
Thank you for that. Mr. Zuelake, because we don't see, let's welcome your colleagues of DTI that have joined us. We appreciate that. I thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Go on.
Chairperson, there were various... Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, there were various concerns that were raised by the arts and culture sector in relation to the current acts, which is the Copyright Act of 1978 and the Performance Protection Act of 1967. And some of the concerns that were presented to the department and also to the Department of Trade and Industry are that there is a lack of transformatory reform in the copyright, which exposes the arts and culture sector to abuse and exploitation. There's piracy and counterfeiting, which is rife, and enforcement agencies are not coordinated and provided with the powers. There was also a concern that unfair contracts are resulting into perpetual signing away of economic rights of many artists. Non-payment of royalties by broadcasters, it was also a concern that was raised. The question of local copyright laws not in line with international standards. It was a key concern that was raised before, that there was also the non-ratification of international treaties, and that provide, especially those treaties that provide the recognition of the rights in the digital era, and that puts the practitioners at the back foot. The issue of mismanagement in the collection and management of distribution of royalties. It was a key concern that was presented to us. Lack of reciprocity regarding payments of royalties from other jurisdictions. It was a matter that was also presented. There were also issues of legal dispute that were not resolved speedily. So all these matters were presented to us, especially when we were dealing with some work during the music industry task team that was appointed by our minister in 2001. And recommendations were put forward on how we can address that as government. And in 2010, the Copyright Review Commission that was led by Judge Falam was also established, appointed by the Minister of Trade and Industry to look into how the legislation could be amended, Chairperson. The next slide, Chairperson, I'll be taking you through what the statutory and policy context that informed why this legislation had to be amended. Chairperson, you will know the constitution of the country talks about healing the wounds of the past. And in the area of music, we already had challenges that we were faced with and are still there, those challenges. And there were no reforms in terms of the legislation. You noted those legislation that we have are very old, and that was the reason for us to look into what the Constitution is saying to us in terms of reforming the country so that we can achieve the issues of addressing inequalities within the country. The National Development Plan is also critical to that aspect because it talks about eradicating poverty and narrowing the gap of inequality. Over and above, Chairperson, there are international treaties that are informing why we need to amend our legislation. One treaty relates to the WIPO Performances and Phonogram Treaty, WPPT, and it is administered by the World Intellectual Property Organization. It deals with the rights of two kinds of beneficiaries, which are the performers and those who invest in the recording of those materials. The second is the Beijing Treaty that was signed in 2012, and it deals with the protection of audiovisual performances. The third is the WIPO Copyright Treaty, and it deals with the protection for authors of literary and artistic works. The fifth is the Marrakesh Treaty, and it facilitates access to the published works for persons with disabilities, in particular the blind, and many others, especially those who've got difficulties in the learning areas. And there are also other treaties, the Bern Convention and the Rome Convention. I should not forget, Chairperson, the agreement on trade and related aspect of intellectual property, because it's very key. But that treaty is managed by the WTO. South Africa is party to some of these treaties. We have signed some of these treaties, but not ratified most of these treaties. So there's a need for those treaties to be ratified by South Africa so that we can get the benefits when we do business with other countries. Chairperson, the next slide will take us through the process where we started. You will see that it has been some time. We've got two old legislation, 1967 and 1978. And the complaints that have been coming from the sector started mushrooming, especially around 1998. That was coming more specifically from the music industry. And following the death of one famous artist, Mahlathini, there was an issue that was raised to say government will have to come and assist the music sector to check on the challenges that are affecting the music sector. And in 2002, together with the Department of Trade and Industry, we managed to amend a particular section of the legislation, and that was only dealing with the needle time royalties. Between 1992 and 2006, it took us some time to develop the regulations that relate to how the needle time royalties will be managed. And in 2006, those regulations were passed, but yet there were still challenges in relation to the collection and management of those royalties, to an extent that in 2009, the former president met with the sector, and where he discussed on how the sector could be assisted. And in 2010, the president communicated and instructed the Department of Trade and Industry to establish the Copyright Review Commission. The Copyright Review Commission, as I indicated, Chairperson, it was led by Judge Fala. And its task was mainly to look into the collection of royalties, how those royalties were collected and distributed to artists, whether they benefit those artists. Over and above, it looked at other issues that relate to the Copyright Act and the Performance Protection Act. The Copyright Review Commission released a report in 2011, and immediately after that, there were some studies that were done through the Department of Trade and Industry and working together with the World Intellectual Property Organization to research specifically on the benefits that are coming from the copyright industries. And in 2013, Chairperson, I will just skip some of the activities that happened in 2013. That's when we started working on the draft on the IP policy. That draft informed on where the country should go in terms of reforming the intellectual property, overall intellectual property in the country. This includes the copyright. And in 2017, both the bills were presented to Parliament for consideration. Those bills were discussed within Parliament, and in 2018, the bills were approved by the National Assembly, And in 2019, the bills were approved by the NCOP and referred to the president for consideration. The chairperson, the next slide will take us through some of the key objectives of these bills. Is to develop the legal framework on copyright and related rights that will promote accessibility to producers, users, and consumers in a balanced manner. We'll discuss further on this because it relates also to Section 12, that is the key debate, and it's also appearing on most on our newspapers. The bill also introduces provision which deals with matters pertaining to the collective management. This is part of the introducing an improved system to regulate the collection, management, and distribution of royalties. It also deals with the protection of works and rights of authors in the digital environment. They provide for standards of contractual terms to empower practitioners. This is to close the loopholes that has resulted in unfair contractual agreement that comes with the common law system of freedom of contract, as is a case that we are currently practicing. The bills also introduce the resale rights. The resale rights means that artists, especially visual artists, could be entitled to a royalty when their original work is resold commercially. They will have to benefit. It's for the first time it's being introduced in the country. The bill also introduced the hybrid system for limited access and uses only in certain circumstances. It is also related to the Section 12 that we spoke about. The bills also provide the exceptions and limitation in the education, libraries, archives, and museums, also related to parts of the Section 12 that we'll talk about later. It also provides for the availability, accessibility of format or copies of work to accommodate persons with disability. We spoke about it later on. It also provides for the sharing of royalties in respect of literary, music, and artistic work. The sharing of royalties is very, very critical because of the exploitation that the DG spoke about earlier on. It also provides the mandatory requirements for the recording and reporting when broadcasters or any other users, especially those who are supposed to pay royalties, they need to record that information so that we can be able to process royalties and know who exactly owns those royalties. And royalties should go to the rightful beneficiaries. The bills also strengthen the copyright tribunal so that it can deal with all disputes of copyright and related rights. It also addressed the rights of the authors in the commissioned works in terms of the contracts that are being entered into, and also in terms of the assignments that are being entered into. It also provides greater scope to protect the creators who assign their work to other commercial entities. It introduced technological protection measures to reduce incidences of copyright infringement. Chairperson, as you know, the bills are now sitting with the portfolio committee and referred back by the president. But let me just highlight and just summarize the key aspects of the bill, but these are the things that I've already spoken about. Is the recordal and reporting for royalty determination, is the accreditation and regulation of collecting societies, equitable royalty sharing, and it deals with the commissioned works with more protection for authors to combat unfair exploitation of work. It deals with the assignment of works to provide protection for the creators, to close the gaps that comes with freedom of trade. It also deals with the flexibility, allowing exceptions for reasonable access to materials without seeking permission, including freedom of panorama and incidences where people can use materials. It also strengthens the protection through copyright management information. The copyright management information, like for instance in CDs, information, it should be properly recorded. We should know exactly who owns the particular material, so that when it comes to royalty distribution, the royalties should go to that particular beneficiary or right holder. The introduction of the technical protection measure is very important because it combats issues of infringement on copyright. It strengthens the copyright tribunal, and it there is also extended penalties on matters relating to copyright infringement. Let me, Chairperson, talk to the matter that has been referred to the National Assembly by the Presidency. One of the issues that were referred to the National Assembly relates to the procedural matters. One is the incorrect taking of the bills. According to the President, the bills should have been classified under Section 76 of the Constitution, not as Section 75. The reason is that the content of the bill substantially affects matters listed in Schedule 4 of the Constitution, such as cultural matters. The second matter of procedural issues is the insufficient public consultation that relates to Section 12. The President pointed out that substantial changes were made with regard to Section 12 of the Copyright Amendment Bill, this without sufficient consultation with the public. There are also substantive matters that were raised by the President. The first relates to the possibility of arbitrary deprivation of the rights. What the President is indicating is that clause or Section 12 of the bill is that it talks about the possible arbitrary of deprivation of rights. It relates to the retrospection. There is a clause within the bills that talks about the sharing of royalties, and the bills is suggesting that because of the exploitation that happened in the past, then there is a need for restitution. And in that regard, the bills is proposing that those contracts will have to be reviewed, and in instances where artists were exploited, therefore there should be some restoration of those rights. The second issue that was raised by the President is the impermissible delegation of authority, which is also linked to the matter that I've just presented above. The impermissible delegation of authority, it gives the minister powers to conduct impact study and develop a regulation on how the issue of sharing of royalties can be dealt with. What the President indicated is that those clauses are giving the ministers powers that are not authorized, and he raised a reservation with regards to that. The third issue that was raised by the President is arbitrary deprivation of property, right to trade, and right to profession. that relates to Section 12, and the President indicated that Section 12 of the bill allows for open-ended access to fair, to materials, and it talks about the fair use instead of the fair dealing. And as such, the President indicated that it could be depriving most artists their property rights, their trade rights, and their profession, their rights to profession. And fourthly, what the President raised is in line with the international treaties. The feeling is that the bills are not in compliance with the international treaties, in particular, the three-step test that are enshrined within the WIPO and the WTO agreements. The three-step test allows for uses of materials in certain special cases. That's number one. Number two, the test allows for use of material as long as it do not conflict with the normal exploitation of the work. And then thirdly, it will allow for the use of materials, especially when it does not unreasonably prejudice the legitimate interest of the author or the right holders. Chairperson, will have to go into the details on why those reservations were presented by the President, and how the portfolio committee, together with the Department of Trade and Industry, the Department of Arts and Culture, saw it. The taking of the bills of bills is done through the joint taking mechanism in Parliament. The different procedures prescribed by the Constitution for different types of bills create a problem which was probably not contemplated by the Constitution. And this has happened to many bills in the past. However, we have noted that in one court, Constitutional Court judgment that relates to the Communal Land Rights Act, the judgment concluded that in matters where bills substantially affect the provinces, therefore, such should be classified under Section 76. In relation to this bill, Chairperson, what we noted is that much as the bills are talking about copyrights, they also affect issues related to cultural issues. And therefore, cultural issues are listed within Schedule 4 of the Constitution. The discussions that happened in the previous week within the Portfolio Committee is that it will be good for the bills to be reclassified into Section 76 in line with the reservations made by the President. So that is a matter that has already been discussed. In relation to the insufficient public consultation, what was noted is that when the initial bill was presented to Cabinet, to Parliament, where changes were made were slightly not substantial. The initial bill was in this manner: fair use in respect of the work or the performances of the work for purposes of the following does not infringe copyright in the work. So the changes that were introduced was to add a word such as, and that word made the current clause open-ended and was introduced following consultation with various stakeholders. The issue that is being raised by the President has been noted, and the specific the specific clause could be open for further consultation. Our understanding is that the president is raising a cautionary measure and to avoid this bill being challenged on constitutionality. Perhaps maybe we can advise that during the discussion, the parliament could look into how this matter could also could again be open for further consultation if need be. Next slide, please. The issue of a blanket retrospective application, it has been debated, and as we indicated, Chairperson, the idea was that there should be some form of restitution, because we noted that in the past, many artists were actually exploited. But as the president raised this reservation, our understanding is that the president is raising this reservation in relation to the blanket application of this clause. And what the president is actually saying is that there are incidences where artists could have been fairly compensated. So in relation to this matter, the recommendation that is being put to the PC is that perhaps maybe there could be ways in looking into how we can revise this specific clause to understand, to ensure that the question of restitution is being addressed. Alternatively, the clause could be removed from the bill so that we can have a way forward on this matter. It is a matter that has been discussed within the portfolio committee. We don't know what decision it will be taken, but from the perspective of the Department of Arts and Culture, we feel that the question of a retrospective is important because it talks about restitution. There are many artists that were exploited indeed, but we also understand why the president would raise such reservation, because the blanket approach could affect other people who might have actually entered into fair agreements with the artist in the past. And then the next issue is the question of the impermissible delegation of authority. Should the portfolio committee decide to delete the clause above, therefore, the impermissible of authority then will automatically die and it will not be needed as such. So it's a matter as to whether when these discussions are happening, the portfolio committee would look into ways of bringing in the question of restitution or decide on deleting the clause so that we can proceed with the bills. And then the issue that relates to the limitation and exceptions that was raised by the president as a matter that will deprive the right holders of their property rights, the right to trade, and the right to property. When this matter was extensively discussed within the portfolio committee and within the department, what we actually noted is that limitation and exceptions are allowed, and even within the constitution there are limitations. We can actually limit certain rights, but that should not be done arbitrarily. And the adoption of the limitation and exception in the current bill resonates within the repeated calls for a policy that advocates for social needs. So the social aspect is most important for us, and it's a policy that we'll have to look into as government. And it has been a repeated call, especially coming from the education side and those who are using the material, to say the country, because of the inequalities, we definitely need to look into how these resources are shared so that we can bridge the gap of inequality. It's a matter that will have to be considered by the portfolio committee, but in our view, there has been a consultation on this matter, and also legal experts were sought. Our understanding is that in relation to the Constitution would allow those limitations, but should that need be, we therefore recommend for the Portfolio Committee to consider to look for further legal advice. And lastly, is the question of the non-compliance with international treaties. With regards to this reservation, Chairperson, is that extensive research and legal advice was sought on this matter. Legal experts have concluded that the bill does meet the international treaties. It was further highlighted that the proposed fair use model is similar to models that are used by other countries, and those countries are actually also a party to the international treaties, and South Africa should not be a country that is being confronted on such. And the matter, what we also noted is that it's a matter that we have extensively worked on it, and with the legal advices that we received, we believe that we are in line with the international treaties. But should the Portfolio Committee think that there's a need for further legal advice, we advise that the committee could actually do so. Next slide, please. Chairperson, just for a way forward, especially for this committee, because it was not involved in the discussions that happened earlier in the past weeks. As per the rules of the engagement, Parliament is restricted to discuss only the issues that were referred by the President, thus the six reservations raised by the President. So the other issues that are coming with the bills are not open for discussion. The reservation raised by the President are currently being discussed by the Portfolio Committee of Trade and Industry, and in the previous meetings were made to understand that they've requested to consult with the various study committees, and that would include the Portfolio Committee on Sport, Arts and Culture. In the light of this debate surrounding the fair use, Chairperson, we requested that perhaps maybe the department should bring you into speed, considering that there will be this consultation with your committee. We would want to bring you into speed so that we can give you information on the question of the fair use and the fair dealing model, because it's an issue that's always been presented on the media and in many, many other platforms. And the slides that will be followed, it will be talking precisely to the fair use, fair dealing model. And this is just for your information, but it also raises question of policy, because when we discussed the introduction of the fair use model, we actually looked into how the country can actually be developed. Next slide, please.
Our staff, they've just indicated that they're having load shedding. Maybe you can just go on without the slides, because I'm seeing now the slides are not moving. You can talk to your slides. We'll be taking notes whilst we do have your presentation with us. Please go on, Mr. Zwelakhe.
Chairperson, thank you. The question around the fair use and the fair dealing, as I indicated, is an issue that is debated on the public platforms. And it will need our leaders, our politicians to understand it. And what we are saying is that the introduction of the fair use model in the proposed bill, indeed, we accept that it resulted into some form of disagreement among stakeholders, and the debate that is being put across is that is a matter that is putting the country at the crossroads in terms of policy making. As we debate, let us try to redefine our own sustainable human development objectives in the field of intellectual property and effectively advance the national interest. Our wish is only one, that a force should emerge and embrace the challenge of being part of the process of decolonizing South Africa law. By so doing, we will therefore charting a way forward in a manner that is consistent with the objectives of transformative constitutionalism. Chairperson, perhaps maybe we should try to understand what fair use and fair dealing is. Fair dealing and fair use are related concepts pertaining to the users, right, under the copyright. The framework is designed to allow the lawful use of reproduction of work without having to seek permission from the copyright owners or creators or infringing the legal rights. In line with the international treaties, copyright is not absolute, but limited. And of course, our constitution also is allowing for limitation in the rights. The limitation and exceptions are therefore used to regulate the limits and limit the exclusive rights of the creators while granting users limited exceptions to access the copyright materials. It is very, very critical for social development. Chairperson, the fair dealing model as it is in the Act, I will go through it on how it has been crafted. It says copyright shall not be infringed by any fair dealing with a literary or music work for the purposes of research or private study by or personal using the work, or for purposes of criticism or review of that work or another work, or for purposes of reporting current events in newspapers, in magazines, in similar periodics. And what has actually been introduced is a flexible model of fair use. And the bill says, in addition to uses specifically authorized, fair use in respect of work or the performance of that work for purposes such as the following does not infringe copyright in that work. It includes research, private study, personal use. It also includes for scholar, for teaching, for education, for libraries, for archives, for museums. And it actually broadened up the scope in which people can actually access materials. And as we indicated, it's very important for the country. And the differences between the two is that the current law refers to dealing, and it comprises of few cases under which protected work can be used. It allows for only the purposes listed in the law, and the onus is on the right holder to sue the infringers for alleged violation. The defendant should provide any defense, and what we noted is that the current act is similar to the UK and the EU copyright. But the new proposed version of the bill, it refers to uses. And the word was extensively discussed within the committee to say, here, because we're talking about the user's rights, how they access the materials, perhaps maybe the use of the word dealing is not proper in terms of legislation. We rather use the word fair use. But this is, it's a mere semantic change. By virtue of inclusion of the words such as in the first clause of the bill, it has created a list of permissible purposes that is open, as opposed to the current system that is limited or rather closed. The onus is on the right holder to sue the infringer for alleged violation of the law, and is similar to the current act. Likewise, the defendant should demonstrate and justify that why they decided to use the material. This proposed version is similar to the US, Singapore, and Israel and South Korea copyright system. The differences between the two, there are tests that are being used. The current act, it will use only two tests, and those tests is in areas when the uses are not in conflict with a normal exploitation of the work, and is the second is when not unnecessary prejudicing the legal interest of the author. And the proposed bill is having four tests in which we can actually test on whether the person who has actually used the material has used the material in a fair manner. Firstly, the nature of the work in question will have to be considered. Secondly, the amount and substantiality of the part of the work affected by the act in relation to the whole of the work will have to be considered. Thirdly, the purpose and the character of the use, including whether such use serves the purpose different from that of the work affected. I think this is critical. It's also whether the use was of commercial nature or non-profit making. And if it's not for profit making, then it could be classified as fair use. And lastly, the substitution effect of the act upon the potential market because of the monopoly that is in the sector sometimes. So those regulations we definitely need to come up with so that we can regulate on how materials are accessed. But we noted the criticism leveled against the proposed fair use model. What was indicated is that the fair use is too open, it will destroy the arts and culture and creative sector, and it will discourage creative investment. Secondly, it was indicated that fair use promotes legal uncertainty and long legal processes. Thirdly, that fair use favors big tech companies to use works from local creators and distribute those works free. And then fourthly is that the proposed fair use will violate the international law, in particular the three-step test. And this is the issue also raised by the president. So here, Chairperson, we just want to indicate that we are at a crossroad in terms of policy. It is a dilemma that we should actually consider as policymakers, and our legislators should also assist us with regard to this matter. Should South Africa preserve the closed list of permitted purposes, or should South Africa go for an open-ended list of permitted purposes? But as the Department of Arts and Culture, we are of the view that we need to balance the scale. One issue that we have actually noted is that when dealing with our mandate as Department of Sports, Arts and Culture, we are faced with clear realities of having to manage the competing interests. On one hand, we have the creators of content. That will be the artists, the publishers, record companies, and they need their rights to be protected. On the other hand, because our mandate is also about having to provide services for libraries, for archives, for institutions, we also need to balance that. And we of the view that these challenges will have to be addressed through a balanced manner so that we can also serve the interest of the public. The rationale on this matter is the question of having to transform this country, and as informed by our constitution, the constitution clearly indicates the concept of transformative constitutionalism, and the magnificent goal of our constitution is to heal the wounds of the past and guide the nation to a better future. And dismantling of the pillars of the past will definitely require acceleration of the development of the majority by way of giving them education and skills so that they can keep the economic and commercial will turning. Therefore, we move from the perspective that copyright should be used as a tool to promote and contribute to social economic development. The tension between property and social welfare should be dispelled. Private property is so important for human welfare and dignity, and therefore, realization of private property values requires the recognition of public values so as we can deal with the current inequalities in the country. So the policy perspective, Chairperson, that we are moving from is that copyright should not be seen with the lenses of profit-making only. Neither should we see social development as a threat to property rights. Freedom of trade or other constitutional rights, it cannot be a threat. Those two should actually be balanced. If we move from that perspective, we believe that this country will be developed. The advantages of fair use to this country is that the fair use will reduce economic and social costs. Too much protection results into monopoly and perpetuate lack of access to information. Monopoly has proved to be a serious social economic cost. Fair use will address weak demands. We know a lot of our people are so poor they cannot access materials in the education sector. Some want to go in certain areas of education, but materials are so expensive. And there's this low purchasing powers, and the logistical obstacles are being created. And this creates social inequalities. And we believe that if we balance the two, therefore we will be, as a country, moving into the right direction. Fair use is key towards affordable translation rights, primarily for the education purposes. And it will also benefit the people with disabilities. And fair use triggers human capital formation. It helps creating more competitive environment and enhances enterprise development. We have seen that happening even in the other intellectual property areas such as patent. Normally in patent, when you have to develop, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You look into what has already been developed, and then you increase from that level. So reinventing the wheel could actually cost this country, and in terms of development, we can actually be delayed. And what we have actually noted is that even the developed countries, from their formative stages, many of them, they have actually used models that will appropriate knowledge and technology from somewhere. And we understand that this flexible model will allow this country so that in the education sector, we can be able to access many other content that is currently not being accessed by the users. We also want to talk to the question of whether fair use will bring uncertainty, legal uncertainty. What we are saying is that South Africa possesses a modernized judicial system governed by the Constitution. While it is true that the fair use system will call upon judges to decide on how to balance the abstract issues, but at the same time, we understand that we have a strong legal system, and our judicial system in terms of interpretation and implementation of the law is actually guided by our constitution. And as such, we have a closed system, thus within the constitutional limits. This then increases the chances and the degree of legal certainty and the limit, and limit any form of abuse by either the right holders or the copyright users. Perhaps maybe what we should also discuss is the question of whether this will actually affect the international treaties. Chairperson, what we have actually noted is that we looked into other international laws in relation on how they actually governed the relations when parties, states are entering into international treaties. Article 31 of the Vienna Convention, of the Law of Treaties, this is a treaty that is governing all the treaties across the globe. It requires that a treaty should be interpreted in a good faith, in accordance with the ordinary meaning. The terms of the treaty in the context should be considered. The object and the purpose of the treaty should be considered. And Article 31(2) further states that the context for the purpose of the interpretation of the treaty shall comprise, in addition to the text, it should include the preamble and the annexes. So the annexes of the treaties are so important. And likewise, the WIPO treaties and the TRIPS agreement refers not only to the objective of promoting adequate protection for social development. So within those treaties already, the underlying public policy objectives are there. Article 7 of TRIPS lays down the principle of balance between rights and obligations and emphasizes that agreement has to have the goal of fostering not only economic development, but also social welfare. Article 8 of TRIPS also goes in the same direction and allows members to adopt measures for the promotion of public interest in sectors of vital importance to their socio-economic technological development. Complementing the above, Article 40 of TRIPS grants additional flexibility to permit uses of works as remedy to anti-competitive conduct. I think this is very critical. And in relation to the discussions that this committee will be having with the Portfolio Committee of Trade and Industry, we thought that we need to bring these matters into fore so that you can understand other aspects of the international treaties. What do they say in terms of what South Africa is actually trying to do? But what we also noted, Chairperson, is that there is total ignorance of the historical background and context in which the three-step test was introduced. The concern that the bill is in conflict with this three-step test is really that it doesn't actually look into what was the reason. People, especially those who've been attending those where the international agreements are being discussed, will understand that those processes will follow certain standards, and the three-step test itself was introduced when the emphasis was always to go for an abstract formula rather than a detailed list of specific exceptions. And it was actually trying to address the issues that developing countries are actually facing. The criteria of the three-step test and the factors to be found in the fair use are actually similar. For instance, the prohibition of the conflict of normal exploitation is parallel to the effect of the use upon the potential market for a value of the copyrighted work. It is its intent and purpose, the three-step test, is not designed exclusively for resisting the new use privileges, but to enable them. So these are critical. We are saying, in terms of other international obligations, Article 31.3 of the Vienna Convention requires that any relevant rule of international law that are applicable in relation between the parties should be taken into consideration, Chairperson. And here, we're raising the aspects of other treaties that should actually be taken into consideration. There are international treaties that South Africa should oblige to. For instance, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and the International Covenant of the Economic, Social and Cultural Rights. There is also a principle of proportionality in the international trade law that has to be respected while interpreting the treaties. And this principle is mostly used in the context of issues of fundamental rights, especially as methods of solving conflicts between different values. And here, because the issue in South Africa, there are these conflicting values, we definitely need to look into those treaties so that we can inform our policies. This could be the reason why other countries have actually used the fair use system and were not forced to amend their copyright legislation. Chairperson, I would like to pause from there, but basically what we've been trying to do, where we were trying to bring, you know, the policy perspective on the fair use dealing model, we were trying to give this committee information so that when you consult with the other committee, you'll have a deeper understanding as to why this fair use model was actually inserted within the proposed bill. Because the fair use model is where there are real issues. The contestation within the sector is actually around the fair use, the fair dealing model. There are those that are saying we should remain with the fair dealing model. And we are of the view that the fair dealing model is too restrictive, and considering our social issues, we might need to open a bit so that we can actually address social issues. Social welfare is very, very critical, with the understanding that government is already investing billions of rands into the education sector. And the question of education is also part of the human rights and is related to human dignity. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you so much. Your last input, I'm suspecting that's what we wanted. Honorable members, this is a very valuable presentation especially that this is the first of kind that is a new parliament, which is sixth parliament, as a new committee that were getting this presentation. So can you engage on asking questions? Bear in mind that we are going to meet with the committee that these two bills have been with them, and they've been on the ground or been discussing. And today is our first day that we are getting this valuable information. Whilst we are going for recess, we'll be going on reading the information, which is information about those key documents, as Honorable Mhlongo was saying, that 64 pages. But it's going to be very easy now to relate about those documents with the information that we're getting today. It's a very important discussion, and it opened our mind and to understand why President felt that it must go back to these two committees. Really, we are committee of arts and culture, whilst we have ODTI. I'm giving to you, honorable members. Thank you so much that we're having this information. Any intake, honorable members?
Mr. Madingozi's hand is up, Chairperson.
Okay. Mr. Madingozi.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you to the DG. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you to the Honorable Mr. Mbiba, as well I can, for the information and the presentation. I know that this is our first time that we're dealing with, in fact, in this parliament, the sixth parliament. I have like some reservations about the bill. I've been reading it every now and then, come to check exactly if I do understand it, the way it is being explained. And yes, I've learned quite a lot more extensively about it right now. Nevertheless, I have my reservations about the multiple collecting societies that are busy operational right now. And I think that they're opening a lot of corruption going on within these collecting the actual collecting societies are the ones that are sort of like some of them share the same members, and some have fake members. So yes, I think having to have one collecting society would be best to have, rather than to have many. And also the problem that I have with the bill is like it was the years that it was created and formulated is from 1967 to 78, excuse me, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm sure by then there were no consideration of black artists per se. So everything was done just for the white status at that time. And another thing is how protected are we on the digital space? But we are not part of the international treaties. And why are we not part of them? You know, that is also my question about it. And basically, and of course, which are the sections of the bill that are not open to discussion and why? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Martin. Honorable Siabe.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me join Honorable Madungosi in thanking the department and the leadership of the DG for this informative presentation. I think it really assisted. And I've seen in the presentations they are making recommendations. My understanding is that the officials of the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture have been in constant contact with the officials of DTI. And I just take it for granted that what they are presenting today is what was presented in the portfolio committee at DTI. And I think the advice are quite good if we were to go with those advices, Chair. Hello?
Yes, listening.
Yeah. Personally, I would say as a portfolio committee, we consider those advices positively. Of course, we may not finalize it before we have a meeting with the portfolio committee at DTI. So my recommendation would be that we resolve that the chairperson get in touch with the chairperson of DTI to make sure that moving forward, we have joint meetings. And on the procedural issues, I think to an extent it's easy that we can go for that taking as recommended 76, which will then address the second item on consultation. Because once you go, we involve provinces, then you'll have to go for consultation. And on the substantive issues, as they advise that somewhere we might need the advice of the legal eagles. Maybe I must suggest, Chair, that we need to get in touch with the parliamentary legal people so that they are able to advise us. Because somewhere, as they present, the department says they think what is contained in the bill is sufficient, but the president has returned it. Because we don't want to do things which will further delay the implementation of the bill after the president has consented to it, because our people out there, the artists, are suffering and they are looking forward to sign this bill. Lastly, Chair, I just have a question if they can assist us. I'm advised that the organization Blind South Africa has taken the president to the Constitutional Court around May 2020, and seemingly their complaint is that this bill as it is does not cover them. Maybe as they respond to our question, if they can elaborate on that one, if they are aware of it, and take us into confidence. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Siabe. Any other hand?
That's it for now, Chairperson.
Okay. Can also take this opportunity to thank the department through UDG and the collective. I'm pleased that the other officials of the other department, which is other portfolio committee, are with us. We do understand that as this new committee, this is the first of kind to be briefed, but fortunately we are briefed whilst we had to be part of interaction through the president's clarion call. That's why, honorable members and the department, that we do apologize the way that we started with this meeting. I wanted that you must trust us that we are thinking that without information, we don't have power. It was my final roundup closing marks on Tuesday last week, that when we're proposing that we want joint meeting, and out of the discussion, we closed the meeting on Tuesday saying that without information, we are not going to have a power. And today, what we are listening, we are listening to people who have got insight of what is going on. But what I'm happy about is saying that let's confine ourselves on those areas that the president rejected part of the bill. Because the bill is a bill forwarded to DTI. But because we are custodians of arts and culture, and as you outlined so many things that we need to look at in order that our people must benefit in these two bills. I'm seeing that these two differences between fair user and fair dealing, they can play a bigger role if the interpretation what you are giving us it can be followed. But so far, I'm suspecting that as Parliament consists of two houses. When we're saying Parliament, I wanted to check what is it that ENCOP is doing, because both houses have got both departments and committees. Because when we're talking of retaking, the taking of Section 76, it lies upon the provinces according to NCOP. And we must not just take it lightly, because that process of Section 76, it took a little bit of a time, because they will go to the provinces, they will do seek a mandate, let alone if they want to do a public hearings. But even if they don't want to do public hearings, they will forward, they will go to brief the relevant committee, and that relevant committee, they will come back and wait that relevant committee to consult, and they will be going back again to the provinces to collect those mandates. I'm saying that with us to go to a recess with this information and the mandate that I'll take it, that there's nothing wrong, that I must talk to the counter chairperson in order that as this committee, we must plan accordingly. Because today is Friday, I'm suspecting on Tuesday, I must call a management where we are going to plan accordingly. I'm happy about information, but also there's a SADC which is looking at some SADC and international relations of some of the treaties, and we can't as a South Africa choose not to by this time have treaties that you cannot pass on. Some of us then, when we were in that SADC, we were making sure that when coming back home, we will try that the relevant department, in order that they must go to the cabinet, that we must prioritize any treaties that we are going to benefit. That gap, I don't think it's a correct gap, but all in all, the presentation made us now to understand what has been going on. We do apologize, honorable members, to those that were thinking that by having this meeting, we're not going to benefit. We've benefited a lot because we're not in the fifth parliament, we're in the sixth parliament, and this is a new department which is coming together. Thank you so much. I'm just making remarks that when I'm looking at time, I won't have that opportunity, but with the right of supporting what these two honorable members are inquiring, but we do support what the president have seen. We can't reject it. We must work accordingly in order that our vulnerable people, the transformation will see through what we are telling us. Thank you to our gurus that are clarifying these things. We do support the recommendations with these writing issues that you are proposing. I thank you. DJ?
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and thanks for the members' comments. We've got our colleagues from DGIC. I'm not sure if they would like to answer some of the questions first, yes, or make, yes, some comments as yes, part of. We are working as a team quite a lot, so they might be able to provide some clarities, like the issues of raised by Honorable Matlingozi, maybe so that there is a consistency in how we deal with the matter of which sections are supposed to not be dealt with now and why only those parts. I think they can assist us there. But I think on the issue of the collection societies, Chair, we note that, and that is why the bills are trying to deal with them to be regulated, because when they are not regulated and as they do as they please currently, it will be a problem that will continue into perpetuity, and the exploitation will always be there for the creatives in terms of their royalties. And as Honorable Matlingozi is saying, corruption, he knows better in that area because he is in that field of what is going on there. Hence the bill, we think it is welcomed intervention to deal with the issue of collection societies, getting them regulated and accountable and having the recourse for the creatives when they see that their rights are being exploited. I think the bill, we might not have mentioned the issue, if I'm correct, does deal with the issue of the taking the matters for review when they feel bad, to introduce the checks and balances, but not noting that we are in a situation where access to justice is important, and therefore then the bill tries to deal with that without costing arm and a leg to the creatives or the users themselves, but particularly protecting the creatives when they believe there is exploitation. I think they can also talk to that with Zwelakhe on how does the bill deal with these checks and balances in that regard, Honorable Chair. And indeed, the 67, you can imagine, that was the height of apartheid, as well as a deep-seated discrimination at the time when these were done. 78, was soon after the issues of Stigbigo, 76, uprisings. The majority of South Africans were really not taken into account when these bills were in mind. And that is why some of their royalties are still sitting in the hands of the old regime, and it is very difficult unless these bills are passed and reviewed. Of course, as long as the matters raised by President on constitutional muster are met, it is urgent and long overdue. And that is why sometimes those two approaches which the colleagues can talk to, whether you deal with one that will for now rush on the protection of the performers, or you deal with both of them simultaneously, is something that needs to be applied if there is a delay with one and not this advantage, the one that can be still implemented. So these are the guidelines that maybe the colleagues from Zwelakhe and DTI colleagues can talk to assist the committee in applying your mind. The last point from my side, Chair, was that we are checking the issue of the blind SA, but maybe if they know, the colleagues, whether there is a matter still in court about these bills, even though the President have referred them back, which they would say in law, it's a moot point if that is the case, then they can be able to assist us in that regard, the Honourable Chairperson. But I just wanted to emphasize the issue of retrospectivity, Chairperson, is a quite a sensitive issue that the committee, without us making recommendations, it's an important point in line with what we've just said about the fact that these laws are old. Now, when we're saying retrospectivity must not happen, or we say must happen, the question is, what does that mean? How far do you go towards the issue of dealing with retrospectivity? But if you also don't do retrospectivity of the application of this law, how then do you say you redeem the rights of those whose intellectual property have been exploited? That is really the nexus of what we must be able to try and deal with in this regard of the issue of retrospectivity or not. Now, I think, Honorable Chair, allow me to ask my colleagues if they want to comment either from DTI, where I want him, or from Zwelakhe first and their colleagues who are here, because I'm not alone, of course, also colleagues at DTGs. Zwelakhe and the colleagues from DTI, you can also introduce them so that we know who they are. But the chair has said we must mind the time issue, so I don't want us to waste time. But Chair, maybe the last point, I think the issue of international treaties, if we debate openly about this, there is a very serious pushback by those who already have stolen African intellectual property. And sometimes they use even what we call other treaties to blackmail African states, not just South Africa. That is why the president was suddenly presented with, I think, DTIC, or can talk to it. When this was being presented, the Americans suddenly pushed back so fast and forced South Africa to reconsider these bills to an extent where they linked this to the other very crucial treaties we have with them at bilateral level. So, but clearly, it might touch the raw nerve of it. And they wrote directly challenging that. And the colleagues can share that with the committee to then see where the issue between international treaty and what South Africa's development agenda is saying sometimes clashes. And we face that pushback, which is very, very strong. But at the end of the day, how do we then continue with the laws that are exploitative laws against our people? Over to you, Zwelakhe and DTI.
Thank you so much, DG. Before that, I'm suspecting DTI and our officials, we have international relations subcommittee, if you can indicate how did they respond to you about these international treaties, because it's their responsibility. And I'm suspecting we need the DTI and whoever need to interact with them, because we cannot be bullied by Americans here. But it's not that an easy thing, what I'm saying. But we need to hear, because it's upon us as a committee. We need to have information. How is our government dealing with these treaties whilst we have international relations? Thank you. I'm sorry, Zelake and the rest. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll address a few of the questions that were raised. One is in relation to the collecting societies, and I think Adichie already covered us very well in that area. But also to indicate that it was extensively discussed within during the process. And the idea that was presented by the Copyright Review Commission was that we might need to have one collecting society per right. But as we started discussing it, then we checked it in line with the Constitution, especially the area of the freedom of association. And those are the issues that were actually discussed to an extent that we noted that it could actually impact off those rights to association. And the decision that was taken was that the issue of accrediting all the collecting societies would actually address the challenges that we are facing. And in instances where collecting societies are not adhering to the rules, then their licenses will be taken. And CIPC will be managing that process should this bill approved. I would like also to touch on the matter of the old legislation. And again here, I think DG touched it very, very, very well. That is why we actually, when we were discussing this old legislation in relation to what those legislation have actually done to this country, the question of a retrospective application of the restitution, it was brought into play to say we cannot just keep quiet about this matter. We know for a fact that some of these contracts are still continuing. Companies are getting money out of the rights that were unfairly acquired from those artists. And this is a matter that perhaps maybe as we discuss the question and the reservations raised by the president, we might need to look into how do we then address the question of retrospective application. And then thirdly, let me talk to the question of the international treaties. The normal standard, it will be for a country to start amending its own legislation so that the legislation could be in line with those treaties. And my understanding is that this is what South Africa is trying to do. And through the DTIC, that activity is already started. And we are talking as to how soon should these bills pass. Then we will know exactly that our legislations will be in line with the international treaties, and it will be easy for South Africa to enter into those treaties. Let me also address the question of that was raised by Honorable Malingozi on why certain section. It's a constitutional matter, and Parliament is restricted to only discuss the issues that were fed back rather than opening up the whole discussion, because the president did not send back the whole or the entire bill, but he actually identified certain issues. So those are the issues that need to be addressed constitutionally. Otherwise, there could be an issue of Parliament being challenged on those issues if it's not adhering to the Constitution. Lastly, the question raised by Honorable Siabe on the court case by the Blind Association. My understanding is that that case has been withdrawn, and the issue surrounding the matter was relating to the delay by the president to sign the bill. What the association was saying was that the bill will actually benefit their constituency. And as such, they were requesting that the president should, as soon as possible, look into signing of the bill. So given the fact that the president has now referred the bill back with those reservations, the association have actually muted that legal proceedings. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Butshelakse. Any other colleagues from DTI on, or anyone who's here from the side of two departments?
Good morning. Good morning.
Okay, switch all off your, maybe your video. We've seen you. Maybe it's, that's why it's doing the
is Dr. Evelyn, the branch that I work in.
Yes, Doc, yes.
Okay. Yes. So from the DTIC, we have worked very closely with the colleagues and the DG in the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture. And it has been a collaborative effort between the two departments. The issues that they presented and the questions and answers that they've provided are in line with how we have been approaching these issues. We've been working as a chair. On the issue of the blind SA, another factor they wanted the president to look into is the ratification of Marrakesh Treaty in terms of the treaty that talks to the issues impacting on the people who live with disabilities, the blind and visually impaired. So they were concerned about that treaty being ratified. So, but Mr. Biba responded to that issue as well. So overall, the issues were addressed. And then the concern about the one collecting society per ride, as he indicated, it was a recommendation from the Copyright Review Commission. But because of the constitutional issue of freedom of association, it was opened up. And we are aware of the challenges with the collecting societies where members, the collecting societies struggle with membership issues and payments of royalties. So that one is an area that will be closely monitored when that, in future, when we have the legislation that accredits and deals with issues of collecting societies in a more coherent manner. So the challenges are there, but then, given that right now with the bills, the confinement will only be to the issues raised by the president. Those are the areas that will be covered. So the collecting society issue is one of them that will be addressed. I will stop there, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Doc. Any other input? Or I don't see that you will. The questions are not answered, but if I can go back to honorable members, if they do want to do follow-up questions. Honorable Matlingozi. Honorable Siave. Honorable Lomane. Honorable Adams.
Thank you, Chair.
Yes, Honorable Matlingozi.
I'm sorry, this is showing me that the my connection is unstable, so I'm switching off the video.
Yes,
about the one collecting society, I still believe that it could work wonders for us
The point that I'm talking about right now is the one collecting society, the IMPRA, IMPRA, which became the culprit of that misdemeanor actually, because IMPRA, I don't know whether we have someone from CIPC with us here. IMPRA, you know, they're not following that scrutiny of application that they have to follow. They are not adequate, and their effective administration is questionable, because look, they never reported to CIPC. I stand to be corrected on that. That's what I've read. But at the same time, they were given money by SAPC and all those things. But if there was one collecting society that was very much following all the proper channels, we wouldn't be having such things like going on. And another question that I have is this international treaties. I was not actually answered wholly, because I wanted to find out exactly why is it taking too long for South Africa to be part of it, and if there are problems about it, what are those problems? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Matlingosi. Any other follow-up?
Chairperson?
Yes, Honourable Siyabi.
Yeah, thanks, Chairperson, and thanks for the DG and the team for responding to our question. I just want to check whether from a departmental level, whether the two departments have tried to sort out legal opinion. I know from Parliament side, we'll still get our own legal opinion. But from their side, have they sought legal opinion with regard to the six areas the President is concerned about? Sorry. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, thank you. I'm suspecting the GTI component, which is with us, as they've been doing presentation and discussion with the other committee, they can even indicate, as was saying, that we're also going to sort a legal advice from our as Parliament. They can inform us whether the committee of DTI, what they've done as a committee. By this time, they're supposed to have that information. I thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Honourable Members. On the issue of the legal opinion, the committee is the portfolio committee of on trade and industry is currently looking at the issues raised by the president, and the discussions are still at the preliminary stages, where they are seeking to determine how to decide on the various reservations. So far, they have dealt with the procedural reservations, and the legal opinions that we have are the ones that came before this process. So there was a legal opinion that our minister commissioned last year around November that addresses some of the concerns that the president raised, because we were also concerned about ensuring objectivity and independence when looking at the bills. And furthermore, there were opinions by the state law advisors that informed our positions on various clauses of the bill, including the ones that have reservations. So going forward, there will be processes that are undertaken by the portfolio committee. So from where I can provide feedback is to indicate that there are preliminary discussions. The PC is going to unpack those issues and then make determinations on various issues. So there is no specific legal opinion per se, except that there has been that preliminary discussions, even with the legal advisors in Parliament, in terms of the status of the various provisions that raised by the president in terms of the reservations, and looking how we and how the outcomes were the way they are, so more at the baseline level. But then going forward, that there will be those determination on various issues on how then they will be dealt with. And I must also indicate today I'm here as the DDG responsible for the area, invited by the colleagues, but I have not been mandated by the portfolio committee per se to be here. So I just came to support the team because we have been working together collaboratively. So in terms of the treaties, how come and why has it taking so long? As Mr. Mbiba indicated, as a department, we have started the process of the ratification of the treaties. And we have gone to the point where they were approved by both houses of parliament. The last part was in the NCP in 2019. However, because of the bills, we withheld the process. We did not want to go ahead and finalize them, ratify them before we knew the future of the bills. So because of the status of the bills, at the time they awaited the president's ascension, we then waited for that process. But they are almost ready, but it's not all of them. The Marrakesh is a bit behind. But then the other treaties that informed the bills are ready to be ratified. But we then decided to wait for the processes of the bills. So I would say that there is progress that has been made. And then the committees will then make a determination of when they could be ratified going forward. But the preliminary processes were concluded by the department, and the Department of Sports and Arts was involved as well in the processes that led to the approvals of the treaties. And Chair, sorry, on the IMPRA issue, I would recommend that we do not discuss that specific case in that manner in the committee itself. We are aware of the challenges with IMPRA and the role that CIPC has been playing to ensure that there is a compliance and that the royalties are properly paid out to the relevant musicians. So there is work that is being undertaken in government where we are discussing with other relevant departments to ensure that these issues are addressed. But without going into the specifics of IMPRA itself in this committee meeting. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Doc. Select, are you fine? DG, are you fine?
No, we are fine, Honorable Chair, as this was really meant to be the meeting to share the information and then provide all what has happened with the bills. We're hoping that we have tried to do justice, and if there is any further additional information that the portfolio committee would require to assist in terms of processing this and in preparation with the meeting with their counterparts from DTIC, I think we will be ready to do that. And then I must confirm, as the DDG Emma Soja has indicated, we are indeed working quite closely with one another. So, Honorable Chair, without delaying other responses, I think we are covered in terms of the responses, the questions that were raised. Thanks.
Thank you, DG. Honorable members. Hello. Is Honorable Madungo?
Yes, Chairperson. I thought the DG is leaving. There's one question that I was never answered. If I may ask it.
Raise that question.
Thank you, Chairperson. While the discussions are going on with the international treaties, how safe are we on the digital world? Because we have our creation on all the platforms in the social media. So are we protected while these discussions are conducted? Thank you, Chair.
I was not leaving.
Are you asking from ODG or the IT of your parliament that question?
No, thanks very much. No, it is a very serious question that has been raised. That the bill favors the big Googles of this world and whatever. But I think the DDG and Zolake can answer that because it has been one of the debates. And I know that he had raised it because the issue is that people are downloading information. There are e-books. The authors are concerned about that. Mm-hmm. So it's been a big debate. And I think the DDG and the Zolake are in very good space to answer because I know that has been one of the key issues they've been grappling with. I don't know who between them would like to take that. Yeah.
Zolake?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Let me indicate that the debate around the tech companies somehow is misdirected to, in a sense that it will also be linked to the fair use model. But what we need to understand is that South Africa is having a fair dealing model currently. It's not about the fair use model. So what we are saying is that, yes, we are aware that people will share materials online, people will share information online, and these are the issues that this bill is trying to address, in particular with the technical protection measures. We are introducing those technical protection measures. But over and above, the Department of Communication and Digital Technology has put a legislation that deals with electronic commerce. These are the issues that we are also engaging them to see on how do we then align our legislations, the copyright legislation, with the legislations that deals with technology. So these are the issues that we're busy dealing with, and we're hoping that in future, as we move on, they will be addressed. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. And are you fine, DG? Doc?
I'm fine. I'm
okay, Doc?
If Doc has any comment.
Doc? Has got a problem of network. Honorable members, I'm suspecting we've done what we think that we're here for. Let me again to thank honorable members that they give their time to sit and listen. And I'm repeating, we are not just rejoicing when other members just decided to leave the meeting. I was thinking all of us were keen to get this information for the first time as the sixth parliament committee members. But in future, we'll try that we must understand each other. Some of us were seeing that this information, it can assist us when we are meeting with our colleagues. We must not raise questions of the nature that you were supposed to raise in this forum. Let me take this opportunity to say that, honorable members, as this committee, we have a lot to do. I'm suspecting I'll have to take a mandate to conduct the chairperson of this PC of trade industry and hear when are they meeting. It's not a secret. On Tuesday, as chairperson, I'm calling the administrators of this committee that we are going to plan a program. We are not always want to change our program, but when we change, we do come to the committee to seek what we've done last Tuesday. This is a big department. It does have issues, and these issues we need to tackle them without not having our own program of the department. I do get so many letters. Some are discussed in the committee. Some I do take the advantage of the interpersonal to consult and check and respond to those people who are writing. Because, honorable members, sports on its own, it was a big department, still is a big department. Arts and culture, here we are sitting here, we still want to see a white paper that must be implemented, because some of challenges from arts and culture is because of those too much of entities in arts and culture. Some, they're not even account to the department. So as this committee, we decided that we are pleading and we ask the department to amend. And we did agree, even the department is in that process. But we must guard against that. We can every now and then divert from our program to answer each and every complaint. There's a way that we can do that. But if sometimes these people, they do come to us as members of parliament, of the committee, we need to prioritize our program. This one, we didn't cancel because it was just nice to divert from the program. It was because of this emergency of the president's observations, and we felt that we will be going to be behind, and we didn't decide in any other corners. We decided here in this committee with those words. I'm saying, department, when you are wrong, we are not going to clap hands, because you are presenting the government and the policies of this government. But the way that we'll caution you, like adults and like people who does have brains, and we will seek that we must be in the same understanding. But those words, I'm thanking the members who left behind, but I'm not rejoicing that other members left us. You must make no mistake. I want us to work as a collective, as a family, but sometimes we need to take a decision what we want to get. With those words, I'm thanking everyone who has been here since 9 o'clock. The meeting is adjourned, or I'm closing the meeting. As I'm saying, the program will come earlier to the department, because on Tuesday, we will be sitting as management to provide direction. When we coming, we must not fumble. We'll be finalizing our program on Tuesday. Thank you so much, honorable members.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, DG. Thank you to everyone.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. DG's network failed again, but thank you, Chair.
No,
thank you.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much.
DG, I see you, your face.
DG, we see I'm a uting up in my bone.
I see your face.
Thank you, Chair.
I only know the name, but not can't relate it to the face.
Are you insisting that you would also?
Sorry, Chair.
No, Honorable Siabe is saying that you want your face.
Oh, okay. My apologies. There is my face, Honorable Member.
No, because they reported that you are a newly...
Hey guys, we're going to start with our flour. That was 3 cups of flour, 3 tablespoons of sugar, half a teaspoon of salt. And we have yeast, 2 teaspoons. And then you're just going to mix. You add 1.5 cups of water and 1 tablespoon of olive oil. I know we're going to be frying, obviously in oil, but it just gives the whole entire dough a nice taste. Lightly sprinkle my surface. You can obviously mix everything or knead everything in your bowl. It works regardless. This is just a method I prefer. I mixed all my ingredients. I just let my dough rest for a good 5 minutes. After you combine all of your ingredients, just let it rest for a good 5 minutes. It's easier to handle. You continue to knead, even when your bowl, you just need to make sure that your dough is not as sticky anymore. I know this is rather a wet dough-ish, but you do get to a point where you feel that it's no longer as sticky. Okay, it feels elastic. When you're done kneading your dough, same as your time, first with 1 to 2 heat up and batch turn nice until they cook. Get that in there. So I also prefer mine.
Mark Blanton and his wife, Dr. Latasha Blanton, are an African-American couple who live in Centurion. Among their business ventures, they run a website, therealsouthafrican.com, a platform that aims to provide fellow African-Americans an experience that is the antithesis of how Africa is portrayed in the United States. And they're joining us this evening to talk to us about what drew them to South Africa and how their counterparts have found Mzansi where...